This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
As we see Porzingis hit another three-pointer. That's four for the Unicorn from deep tonight.
Just hot.
Wide open shots. Another one. He is hot.
Yeah, he is locked and loaded.
And that is Kristaps Porzingis showing you exactly what this trade is about, Kevin, and why it is what it is, and why this Mavericks team stands a chance when it comes to the playoffs. Stands a chance. I saw somebody say getting the eighth seed is not going to be anything beneficial to this team. You and I disagree with that for reals.
They're not going to get the eighth seed either. You really think they're going to fall all the way back to Memphis?
I know. That's what I'm trying to figure out with this thing. But that's why right there, because what Kristaps can do. Listen, you can assume that your team is going to be entirely healthy all year long. But sometimes there are going to be moments where your star is out, whether it's load management, whether it's faulty ankles, whatever it is, at some point you're going to be without your dude, and you got to be able to overcome when those things happen. And the Mavericks have Kristaps putting in 38 and 12, and that's right after a 35-point game, Kevin. So what I see with Kristaps right now, I'm really enjoying. It's just a different pace of game. Whenever Kristaps is there, that's what I see. Is it just it runs a little differently, and it looks like Kristaps needs a little different tempo when he's out there. Is that do you see kind of the same thing?
I mean, and that is logical because as fast as Kristaps is, he is still ginormous, he's not going to be as fast as Luka. So yeah, no, I would certainly be inclined to agree with that.
But that I think the entire thing though of the Mavericks are working and staying afloat without Kristaps, that helps so much, because if you fall off just because you don't have your guy, you're in a load of trouble whenever you're trying to make a run to get into the playoffs. And you know, let's say now you get into the playoffs and your guy runs into foul trouble. What's the big fear? Oh crap. If he's out, we got to set him for a little bit.
Yeah.
How far are we going to drop off because he's not out there? Now what's on Rick Carlisle and what's on the rest of the Mavericks and even Luka is how do you get efficient Kristaps, or how do you maximize him while also not limiting Luka? Because a while back, Rick Carlisle said that what Luka gives you, he gives it to you without disrupting the game, without disrupting the flow of the game. But clearly, there's a disruption between him and Kristaps. And even Kristaps said after the game last night, somehow he's got to figure out how to do that. Kevin, after the game, Rick Carlisle was talking about how the team plays with Luka Doncic.
Well, our style changes, and we just go to a more free-flowing style. We call less plays, and you know, we've done this enough now where guys are really getting a feel for how to play with each other. When Luka's out, and you know, which is good for when Luka's out, but we need Luka back. we need him back.
I mean, sure, I think we would all agree on that. I think the other thing that you're really hoping happens is you merge the best that you saw from Kristaps with the potential that you always see with Luka. Like, how do you keep what makes Luka Luka while merging in a little bit more of the best of Kristaps that you see when Luka is out? And I think that's certainly achievable.
I think what I'm looking for is for a team to become very adaptable to do whatever it takes to win, right? And because you're not going to have the same game plan every night for your opponent. Sometimes your opponent's going to adapt to what you do really well, and they say, "Okay, we unlocked it, we found it." So you have to figure out how do we turn the table on them? How do we make them say, okay, now you got to chase this? And that's what Rick Carlisle, I think his entire season is, because I've seen this happen with Rick before, where he's playing chemistry guy. You know, he's trying to figure out exactly what it is. And even through that playoff run, Kevin, whenever they won the championship, night in, night out, it wasn't the same. It wasn't the same guy that made the explosion happen. Corey Brewer was a guy because they didn't expect that. The Lakers didn't expect it. J.J. Barea dominated for spells because That was one of the hands that they had to play. And that's just what you do sometimes, Kevin. I know a lot of people play Magic out there. All right? A lot of people play the Magic game.
Magic with the CK?
And if you have that one card that you're just like, I did not expect that when
I
laid
this. The Aaron Gordon card?
You know what? There are 10 tradable contracts out there, Kevin.
Oh, my 10 God.
10 most tradable contracts in the NBA. Aaron Gordon's one of them. Huh.
Look, it makes a lot of sense, and we've heard Aaron Gordon linked with the Mavericks for, I don't know, the better part of the last year and a half. And the other thing I would throw out there is every single one of these wins is important, especially, you know, Pacers are a really good team. They're one of the 12 that we talk about that are good teams in the NBA, and Oklahoma City continues to demand that I say 13, fine, 13 good teams in the NBA. Is if you look at the Mavericks, like, maybe that number two seed is starting to get away from them, but 4, 5, 6, those are all achievable end goals for them. And if you get 4 or 5, there's a decent shot that you'll match up with the Rockets or maybe even the Jazz. And both of those are certainly winnable playoff series. Not that they would be the favorite, depending on home court, but those are winnable playoff series. And then you might match up with the Lakers in the second round. And you've been a nightmare for the Lakers this year. Not to say that you would win in the playoffs, but if you're telling me this crew could win a playoff series and then give a run to the potential NBA champions in the second round, yes. Sign me up for all of that.
By the way, the number one most tradable contract, Kevin, is Giannis. All right, so then the,
no,
also...
No, it's not.
It is.
Okay.
It is, according to Yahoo Sports.
Okay, because he doesn't make a ton of money, but why would they ever do that? They would never do that. That's unfair, Yahoo Sports.
Hey, you told me I needed to start looking at Yahoo Sports more. All
okay.
right? You were like, Corey, there's lots of great content on there.
All right.
Guess what I did, Shippy?
Now I'm out.
Did you look at it?
I looked at it, and they have the 10 most tradable contracts, all right? And
okay, that is never going to happen.
And Clint Capella's 10, Aaron Gordon's 9, Zach LaVine number 8.
Oh, I would want Zach LaVine.
Covington is number 7, even though they want two first round draft picks. Jaylen Brown is number 6.
Whoa. But that's because he's on his rookie deal.
TJ Warren is number 5. Bojan Bogdanovic is number 4. Number 3 is Spencer Dinwiddie. DeMantis Sabonis, who I saw Scottie Pippen say he'd rather have him over Kristaps last night.
Wow.
Is number 2. And then number 1,
I mean,
2 years.
He was pretty awesome yesterday, too.
$53 million. That is Giannis right there. And here's what it is. Just the simple fact that it would bring back a trade package like one we've never seen. Like, just if you were to, you would have to trade everything you have.
Plus 5% ownership.
Yes, absolutely. To another team. So it's never going to happen. The other thing, though, last night, Dallas Stars get a victory. And Kevin, that's something right there. Steven Johns gets a goal in his first game back.
That was, I don't think it was his
first
game.
First goal since coming back.
But that's pretty darn impressive. You're talking about a guy who, like, and we talk about this all the time in terms of concussions or things along those head injury lines, is you never quite know what's going to happen there. And it might have gone from like a run of the mill, oh, he'll be back any day now. Oh, he's going to miss the whole season. Oh, he's going to miss the next season. And then I'm sure at some point last year, he's like, am I ever going to play hockey again? This is a guy who you were like, this is one of the building blocks for the future of this team. And now all of a sudden he's thinking, am I ever going to play hockey again? So for him to come back, for him to get his first goal. And we talk about that. We were just talking about the same thing with the Mavericks. It is no different when it comes to the Stars. I don't care if you beat the Rangers or you're rolling up against the Islanders. Every single point is vital for this team because you're looking at the standings, and not to get too far ahead of myself, but you see that St. Louis team ain't running away with anything. And you can't help but wonder, could the Stars make a run? And if nothing else, I would really enjoy going down the stretch in the final 10 games, not having to standings watch four other teams like we've done the last like 2 or 3 years, hoping that the Stars could wiggle into one of those wild card spots. I would really love to know that they're secure in one of those top three spots and maybe make a run at the Blues.
Yeah, as it's set up right now, they'd have a first-round matchup with the Colorado Avalanche, who they swept the series against this season. But that's going to be a really tough matchup come playoff time. And just another note on Steven Johns, his parents were actually in the crowd last night, too.
That's nice.
After he scored, he pointed at him because, I guess, you know, he brought up, too. I've got some audio here if you actually want to hear him kind of talking about what it was like scoring that first goal and the doubts that he had along the way in his recovery.
Yeah, Yeah. Really all there is to say about that. Waited a long time, thought a lot about, you know, possibly never doing that again. And, you know, helping this team at a crucial moment in the game, it's just going to be happier.
You're no more for your defensive play than your offensive play.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Sean was joking the other day what my goal song would be. I think it'd be if there was a song out there named Once in a While. But, you know, Dickie had his head up and found me. I was open. I was calling for it. And he shoots the puck. Sometimes it goes in and felt good.
Do you feel the emotion of that right away, what that means for you and what you've been through?
You know, it makes it pretty special. My parents were here tonight. And throughout this whole process, it wasn't just me going through hell. As parents, they want to help, and you know, for them to be here and see that, I probably know my dad was for sure crying. I'm pretty excited to go see them and give them both a big hug. And you know, as parents, they want to help, but they couldn't. And I know they were hurting the whole time I was too. So that was the only thing going through my mind was going through the line and then finding them in the stands and pointing at them. So, yeah.
Wow, that right there is emotional, raw audio.
And that last part wasn't surprising, given the very first thing that he said, where he's like, yeah, I mean, and you think you might not ever get to do this again. Like, you heard him say it straight away. So clearly, he thought about the fact that you might not ever be able to do what you've been building your entire life up to. Like, I cannot imagine how crushing that would be.
Jeez, man. All right, the Stars will finish up their Northeast Coast swing right here. They beat the Devils already on the road, beat the Rangers now on the road, and they got the Islanders to close things out here. So those are the three games that I think everybody's kind of chomping at the bit to get to, Kevin, because they get up in that little East Coast road swing and they're excited about it. Great audio right there from Steven Johns. Now, Kevin, there's also another story out there that I think is kind of more NBA stuff than it is local. Yeah, Damian Lillard is unstoppable right now.
Agreed.
He's averaging 34.1 points, 8.4 points, and 5.1 points in 37 minutes in the month of January. Okay, that's just the month of January. Over Portland's last six games, he's averaging 48.8 points, 10.2 assists and 7.2 rebounds in the last six games. To be nearly 50 points a game. Listen, I know that Luka and Giannis and LeBron and Harden are all like in the mix for MVP talk, but is there potential that Damian Lillard can get thrust into that because the team is not on fire like they thought they would be coming off of last year's playoff run?
So you would have to make a run. I think actually at the Mavericks, right, in the standings for that to be conceivable. I'm still inclined to say no, because I just think at this point it's going to be really hard to overthrow Giannis. But if somehow the Trailblazers put together like a crazy last 30 games of the season, let's say they won 27 of their last 32 games or something insane like that, and they finished at 50 wins. I think it would take something like that. He's playing incredible. He's obviously, he might be the most important player to his team, but that is not usually how this award gets judged, even though I know it says most valuable player. It's usually best player on one of the best teams. And so he would have to really make a run at like the 6 seed or the 5 seed for Portland to make it. And I don't think it's in the cards, but like all NBA can be in the cards for him. And I know that's important as well. But he's been, you're right, he's been insane.
Yeah, dude. So there you go. That's the stuff that's happened recently, and we got so much more for the show today.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. Coming up next, the postseason in 2020 NFL Power Rankings. Where did the Cowboys sit? Is this the right spot for them? Autoflex Leasing, Fantex, 877-881-1053. Let us know what you think. We'll do it next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular-season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, we have some power rankings and mock drafts to get through because I know Kevin loves mock drafts. It's one of his favorite things.
No.
But the first thing we got to get to is this story I just saw on TMZ, Kevin, TMZ Sports. Did Tony Romo break up in the worst possible way with Jessica Simpson? All right, and yeah.
I'm listening. I'll be the judge of this.
Okay, and because one time I broke up with a girlfriend, I left her a message on her voicemail. Or her answering machine, because it was way back in the day. And my dad was like, you have to talk to this person face to face. You can't just do it this way. Did Tony Romo do it in a terrible way? I'll tell you in just a moment. 877-881-1053. What's the worst way to break up with somebody? A post-it note?
Yeah.
Where do you leave it?
On their car.
On their car? How?
Well, I mean, it would be worse if you put that on their head while they were sleeping.
You write on there, too, like, you suck at parking, by the way, we're done.
Oh, my gosh. All right, so Jessica Simpson was on the Today Show, and this was a moment where she saw a picture of herself that changed the way she looked at herself.
In 2009, she was dating Tony Romo, who played for the Dallas Cowboys at the time. She says she was feeling confident when she took the stage at a chili cook-off in South Carolina. Then came the photos.
This picture that circulated and went worldwide broke my heart.
She calls that chapter in her book Death by Mom Jeans and says she was a size 4 when those photos were taken.
One of your first thoughts, though, you felt bad for Tony.
I know. I think that comes from other relationships. Tony never made me feel that way. I always felt confident when I was with Tony.
Now, Kevin, you've been fat before.
Yes.
I've been fat before.
I also looked at these pictures.
Oh, yeah? Did she look fat? Or was it just the jeans? Because, dude, whenever she was rocking the Dukes of Hazzard, like, that was premium Jessica Simpson.
Oh, man.
She doesn't look...
Wait, is my mic on?
Some of the angles are weird. There is one angle where you're just like, those jeans are not working for you.
Okay. All right.
Daisy Dukes are working.
I wouldn't say fat at all.
All right. Okay. Well, she also spelled out in her new book... Open book.
Nice.
Which, if it's sitting on the counter, don't you just go, I have to listen to that book. It says open it. She broke her silence about her relationship with Tony Romo. She said she ran into John Mayer at her parents' house and didn't tell Tony. But he eventually found out through an email from John to Jessica Simpson.
Oh, dear.
She said, Tony accused me of seeing John behind his back.
How did he see Jessica's email?
I mean, come on, dude.
Did he hack
into
it?
I don't know about, maybe he just like, I don't know, Kevin.
Okay.
You don't scroll. If it's open, though, you can look, right?
But don't scroll.
I hadn't cheated on Tony at all, but I could not lie and say I hadn't seen him.
Oh.
She told Tony that nothing happened, but Tony did not buy her story because it's John Mayer, right?
Sure.
We all know about John Mayer, all right?
Yeah.
She said Tony didn't believe that for a second.
Hmm.
And within that second, he broke up with me right there. 2 years gone with an email. Oh, so he didn't break up with
via
email.
With an email?
Well, it was because
you got mail.
So she said goodbye. Later that she knew he wouldn't go talking to the media about everything, but he soon realized that she was telling the truth.
Does she still have that email?
I'm interested to know. I'm interested to know if she has it.
I wonder if he signed like 9.
Yeah. So. she said John had said all these things, practically asked my parents for my hand in marriage while I was in a serious relationship, swearing up and down that he was a changed man, Now here I was ready to pledge my love back and to kiss him as the curtain came down and it fell on my head all this time, all those years. So there you go. John Mayer did break up Tony Romo and Jessica Simpson.
Sounds like that was Jessica Simpson's fault for not being honest.
Hey, John came by.
Yeah, like if you have an ex that swings this by your house, it looks way worse if you keep it a secret.
Uh-huh.
And like this is the best part is you know that your current wants to make fun of your ex. Just a heads up in case you didn't know that. That's definitely a thing. You can be like, oh, yeah, guess who showed up? Crazy blibbity blabbity wanted to. And you're like, that's weird. But instead, if you keep it a secret and then he's clearly hacked into your email or whatever, and he's like, hey, did so-and-so show up at your house and you didn't tell me? Then you sound guilty no matter what because you're like, yeah, but nothing happened. I didn't say, did anything happen? No, but I was just telling you that nothing happened when he showed up at my house that I didn't tell you about. Like, that just sounds wrong, and you didn't do anything. So just make fun of them. You'll be fine.
I feel like I was a John Mayer in a recent relationship. A couple weekends ago, a girl told me that I broke up her and her boyfriend because one night I offered to let her just hop in my Uber to the next spot because she was one of my good friends, whatever. And I guess her boyfriend at the time thought that we hooked up in the back of the Uber, which did not happen. I just found out a couple weekends ago, and then it turns out he is a big-time Tolo.
Oh, well, a couple things about that.
Is he still Tolo? I mean,
I don't know.
I mean, a couple things about that. That relationship,
just not the station.
I'm innocent. I didn't do anything.
That relationship was doomed to fail because he already had a really low opinion of her. If just her hopping in the back of an Uber made her think, did you hook up with somebody in the back of that Uber?
But it's Shippy's reputation more than hers, right?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. Like
a combo.
I mean, it could be. That's probably fair. It could be a combo.
Hey.
But if your first thought is she rode in a car with Shippy and your next thought is she probably hooked up in the back of that Uber.
And it was oddly specific what we did.
Okay.
I was like, whoa.
Well, we might not be able to get into that. This is a family show. But that relationship wasn't going to last.
Okay. All right. Well,
and it didn't.
Go ahead, Shippy.
Oh, I was just saying, it didn't last.
Okay. Yeah, it never did.
I didn't even know she was dating anybody, though.
Wow. So she didn't even tell. That's the thing, Kevin. She didn't even tell. She wasn't honest with Shippy. She wasn't honest with her boyfriend.
Be honest.
So, yeah. So there you go. Tony Romo and Jessica. I think, listen, he nailed it. He got the right one. He got the right one. Candace is amazing. She worked over at the TV station I worked at, and I used to see her doing her work down on the sidelines. She was working hard, and then she like hit the lottery, right? But she is a classy woman. She's just the right one. He made the right decision to move on from that. Can you imagine the chaos if he'd have stayed with Jessica Simpson?
Maybe they would have won a Super Bowl.
Dude, she cursed him that year. Wasn't it the pinky year, or was that the collarbone year?
I'm just saying, he didn't win a Super Bowl otherwise. Maybe this could have been the
game. Dang, man. All right.
You can't rule it out.
Oh, somebody also said you forgot the part where Tony dumped her on her birthday. So, yeah, it was on
her. He did?
It was on her birthday that he broke up with her. So
look, man.
And that's why John Mayer went to go see her.
You have to make that decision a couple weeks out, or you're just going to wait a couple more weeks. If you're thinking that's a possibility.
No, like, just do it.
No. If you're going to break up with your girl, do it now. Today is like the drop dead date. Don't wait any longer until Valentine's Day, or you have to stick around for another week or two.
You don't have to.
I mean, you should.
Wow, Kevin has a heart now. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, wait, what the hell is going on here?
Don't just break up with people face to face. Somebody on the fan text, Autoflex Leasing fan text, said, why? You're done with that person. You don't have to see them anymore.
Because you're not a monster.
I did have a girl show up at my house once, and I just decided I was going to start dating somebody else, and so I didn't answer the door. And then I never answered the phone from there on.
That's different. If somebody just shows up, that's weird.
I knew she was coming over.
Oh, okay. Well, then you are a monster. You knew she was coming over, and you're like, I'm not going to answer.
That was a really rude decision of mine. All right, so let's go ahead and hit these preseason power rankings, Kevin. This is preseason for next season.
The NFL season's been over for a whole 2 days. Might as well get to it.
No, well, here's the thing. ESPN has the Cowboys ranked at number 12. And I want to know, is that too high based on what we just saw with this season? 877-881-1053. Are the Cowboys currently ranked too high, too low, or just right? 877-881-1053. They're ranked number 12.
Oof. It's too high.
All right, why?
Because,
like, you just added a better coach, right? And you bring back pretty much the same team.
He's a better coach in theory. This is a... Man... Look, this is a real conversation we've had a couple times, and I'm going to point this out every single effing time.
Whoa.
He's a better coach in theory, but are you sure that that translates to Dallas? Because the hard fact we have to face, and I know we have Jerry on all the time, we have Steven on all the time, I love the Dallas Cowboys, but you can't ignore the fact that whether they deny it or not, that meddling narrative ain't going nowhere. And the thought is that people can be as good as you want until they come here, and then, I don't know.
You're not buying that he's going to be any different.
I mean, look, maybe their time had passed, but let's not pretend like this is the first coach who's come here with a Super Bowl before. Bill Parcells had won 2 Super Bowls and gotten another team to the AFC Championship game. Did he do that here? No. Did Wade Phillips do that here? No. And then he went somewhere else, even as a coordinator, and immediately made it to the Super Bowl. I don't think you can ignore the fact that sometimes people come here and it doesn't work out how you think. Why is the reason for that? Well, we all have our own theories and speculations that people aren't allowed to do their actual job the way they actually should with 100% autonomy. So I get that Mike McCarthy, I think, is a better coach than Jason Garrett. Will he be allowed to do the things that make him a better coach? I don't know. I don't think anybody can say that for sure.
From the 254, too low, we stink 1 year and then we're good the next. It's been happening like that for a decade. It gets old, to be honest.
That is an interesting theory. Even years are our years. So you know what? I might have been convinced. Put us up to number 3.
From the 817, too high, too many undetermined factors. And from the 719, they should be ranked when they're picking the draft. 17th is about right.
And if you think about it, here are the teams that they're ahead of. And you're like, are you sure they're better than these teams? The Rams, the Eagles, the Falcons, the Bears. You're 100% sure you're going to be better than all of those teams. Because if you're not, all of a sudden you drop down to being the 10th best team in the NFC. Yikes. That's a pretty big drop right there.
Kevin, I have a 3-round mock draft available.
Oh, my God.
Chippy, I don't know if you know this about Kevin or not. 877-881-1053. Sean and RJ do the mock drafts every week, all right? They go around and find out who the Cowboys are taking at 17, who all the big dogs are predicting the Cowboys to take at 17. Chippy, Kevin hates mock drafts.
I don't understand.
This is weird to me. And, Kevin, I don't understand why you hate mock drafts so much. I think the Cowboys are ranked exactly where they should be right now. If they're at number 12, I don't think they're a top 10 team, but I think they're a fringe contender for the playoffs. But you hate mock drafts, and I have a perfect 3-round mock draft.
Yes. No, you don't.
From NFL.com.
No, you don't.
Are we going to go by every name?
It's from the NFL's website. Yeah, right. We can do name by name for all 3 rounds.
That's fine. I'll tell you this right now. If all those picks are right, I will chop my finger off live on air after the NFL draft.
I need you to save this link, Shippy, because I want to confirm.
Yeah. I'll chop my finger off, one of my fingers off.
Which one would you choose?
Probably my index finger.
What?
That's the one you need the most.
I guess probably my pinky finger then. So this is why I think mock drafts are stupid.
What?
With all due respect to Dane, Kavanaugh, Broadus, Sean, and RJ. I think mock drafts now are stupid. None of that's going to happen. Like, maybe you get the number 1 or the number 2 pick right, but the rest of it is just a waste of time. You know why? Because the draft is in 2.5 months. You haven't done the combine. You haven't done any of the pro days. You haven't done any of the personal workouts. This is a waste of time. None of that stuff is going to happen. Like, just look back. Go look at Mel Kiper, Todd McShay. Go look at whoever's mock draft you want back in the month of February and tell me how many of those things actually happened. Not going to happen. Once we get to the month of April, that's fine. I'm all about listening to everything that you have to say because you've already seen the big thing come down, and now it's just like about shaking it all out. In February, none of the other important things past the Senior Bowl have happened. None of these things are going to happen. Stop it!
From the 214, you need your pinky to do blow, and then from the 214 also, what do the 78 experts at ESPN say about the mock draft? That's a good point. They do have too many mock drafters.
Exactly!
We need to just go back to the old days when there was the one expert of the draft, or maybe even the two, with McShay and the hairpiece guy.
Mel Kiper.
Yeah, because Kiper, like, he
hairpiece guy.
He bit his whole career on one Clausen.
Jimmy Clausen.
He's like, I don't understand why nobody's drafted this guy. He's in the fifth round and it's too low.
And there's no accountability.
Oh,
all
wow.
Right.
So many people are just, going, they agree with you on this.
So, like, you could go through that mock draft and this person in three rounds, so they have 96 picks, they can get two right and people, nobody will say anything because it's so far out there. Like, oh, I can't believe you actually got two right. That's amazing. All right, fine. I'll go ahead and throw my mock draft out right now. I say that Joe Burrow is going to be the number one pick. I bet he is. What a genius I am. I say Chase Young is going to be the number two pick. I bet he is. Wow, revolutionary. And that's probably about how many this guy is going to get right.
They got
CeeDee
Lamb at four.
What?
Yeah, they got CeeDee Lamb going four.
Maybe he goes 17. Will anybody ever reference this again? No.
We will. We're going to come back to it. I'm saving this link, Kevin, because I want to see you chop your finger off.
From the 469, you don't even know who's going to get busted for weed.
Yeah,
yet.
That's so true.
That is true.
I mean, just remember the Laramie Tunsil day. Kevin, I will say
or
this,
some
though.
Quarterbacks get a DWI.
Yeah, exactly,
Dak. We draft him.
The one thing that I will say kind of stands out is if you go back and look at, like, the experts, Dane Brugler has one of the highest percentage hits. So when
I do believe.
When it comes to that, Dane's always been really good at that, and I think he's like a 62% guy. So that's really...
In which month? I bet it's not in February.
Man.
I bet it's not in February.
They're finals, okay. Yeah.
And that's fine. Look, I put a lot of value in the mock drafts, the final ones, or even the ones in April. It's just the ones right now that beat me down.
From the 817, I mocked KNC to midday this time last year. What now, Kevin?
All right, well, then you and I.
All right, we're about to dive in on some cap space for the Cowboys and where exactly the Cowboys need to spend their money. But, Kevin, we got a story that is just too juicy to not talk about right
now.
Is this
about Ja?
It's about a potential Mavericks player. And that's the thing that I think is the biggest deal. Andre,
the Greek Freak?
No. Oh, maybe.
Hardest contract's tradable.
Andre Iguodala is holding out because he wants to sit the rest of the season out if Memphis isn't able to orchestrate a trade with one of the agreed-upon teams he designated by Thursday's trade deadline. All right, by the way, tomorrow we'll have Ryan McDonough on from radio.com.
Ooh.
He's an NBA insider, used to be a general manager. So, like, to really dive in, we'll have him tomorrow, and we'll talk with him about this. But I guess Iguodala said, hey, look, here are the three teams I want to go to. I want to be on a contender. Now, Memphis right now?
No.
Not a contender. Memphis in the future?
I mean, with him, sure. If he's your anchor piece, I believe in that.
So David Aldridge tweeted out the source on that. Dylan Brooks.
I did see this one.
Said, I can't wait till we find a way to trade him so we can play him and show him really what Memphis is about.
Okay.
There was more to that quote, and it's really strong, but that's the best part because basically saying, get rid of him so we can get started whooping his ass.
Yeah.
Right? And then John Morant quote tweeted the Mark Giannotti quote of Dylan Brooks. And John Morant did the little, what's that emoji, Shippy?
The yelling, like say it louder in the back type
okay.
emoji.
So there it is, say it louder type okay. emoji.
It's like shouting, yeah.
And so that's John Morant, the rookie who is on fire right now. Well, then Rachel Nichols posts a post from Steph Curry's Instagram. And it's Andre Iguodala holding the championship trophy and wearing the NBA champs hat, and it's a face with the finger over it going, shh.
Okay.
Because he's a champ, right?
Sure.
So Ja Morant and Dylan Brooks, hey, keep it down. This dude's a champion. That's why he's asking to not play with you guys. And then Ja Morant posts the, I don't know, shh, and a picture of Kevin Durant holding the trophy as if he's saying, Kevin Durant's the reason y'all got that trophy. So stop trying to tell us that it's because of Andre Iguodala. That is too juicy right there, man, because that is a guy right now. That is a guy right now that is playing with house money. Rookie of the year is what he's going to win.
Sure.
He's one of the best young players in the game right now, and he's even better than anybody thought he would be. And then on top of all of that, he's going after a team that's bad because they can't do anything about it right now. The Warriors and Kevin Durant can't do anything about it right now. Nobody can.
I think that's, you know what? I think that's one of the things that people liked about Ja Morant at Murray State. Like, not only his incredible burst and ability to dunk and ability to dish the ball out, is I think people like the swagger that he rolled with. Like, it was very Dennis Smith Jr.-esque. I know that didn't work out super well for the Mavericks, but the way he carried himself around, I think people were like, that guy. I dig the way that, and so it's nothing surprise me that he would jump into this and be like, what's up?
Yes.
I have something to say.
Yeah, so I absolutely love this story. My question is he going to become a Maverick? Are the Mavericks going to be able to make a trade for Andre Iguodala?
Man, for half a second, I got excited that it could have been Ja Morant. No, Andre Iguodala makes a lot of sense. I don't think it's super expensive. It would cost you a lot, especially since Iggy already said, like, if they leave me here, I'm just going to sit out the rest of the season. And you could use the defensive presence. You could use the length on your team. And
the veteran leadership.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this move makes a lot of sense. Plus, if you don't do it and they eventually just buy him out, he's just going to end up at the Clippers or the Lakers. And I don't think anybody wants to see that happen. So I would approve of this move, especially given the low cost.
I wonder if there's any like backlash with the Warriors and Steph, because if you remember, the reason he got traded to Memphis, or the widely speculated reason he got traded, was because of how much light he shed on the Warriors' medical staff and how they handled the Kevin Durant situation. So, I don't know. I thought it was just interesting how the three of those, it seems like Steph's got Iggy's back, you know, more than the organization. Or I wonder if that was awkward at all when they departed.
There you go. All right, Kevin, let's go ahead and dive in on the Cowboys cap space. And who do you want to spend your money on? Because you have some figures and numbers, and you like math.
I do like math.
Even though you don't like three rounds of mock drafts.
Oh, yeah, because this is actual things.
Okay.
Sorry. So where do you think the Cowboys rank in terms of cap space?
How much they're going to have
that's
not already contributed to certain players?
Correct.
Probably top five.
They are fifth.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to go ahead and spoiler alert it for you right now. The winner of the 2020 Super Bowl is obviously going to be the Miami Dolphins. They have the best coach in the league, and now they have the most salary cap in the league. They have $89 million to spend in salary cap space. So look out. Dolphins are going to win the AFC East next year. You heard it here first. The Dallas Cowboys have $77.2 million of salary cap space. And if you go way, way, way down the list, the Chiefs have $16 million and the 49ers have $14 million. So they don't have a bunch of money, but you also look at both of those teams and think, you got a lot of stuff going for you. You're just in the Super Bowl. You'll probably be okay. The team I'm most alarmed for on this list, by the way, it's not the Vikings, who have the least salary cap space at negative $11.4 million. At least they were okay last year. They made the playoffs. They looked pretty good. I'm concerned for the Jaguars, who have negative $3.4 million in salary cap space.
What?
And they were not good already.
And they still have the Foles contract they can't shake.
So how exactly is that going to work for them?
That's awesome.
And if you look at some of the other teams in the bottom five,
it's need to trade Miles Jack.
I mean, sure. It's the Steelers, the Bears, the Falcons, and then the Saints. And the Saints are going to run into a big problem with Drew Brees. So those bottom six teams, they all run into some problems. At the top of the list, though.
But let me ask you this about those bottom six teams. Do they have as many missing pieces as the Cowboys have?
Well, I mean, I would say the Jaguars, certainly yes. The Bears is kind of tricky. I would say not as many missing pieces, but they have the more important missing piece, because it seems like people don't think Trubisky is the guy there anymore. And then the Saints, maybe. It depends. Like, are you going to roll with Hill full-time? Or are you going to have to roll with Bridgewater full-time if Breeze goes ahead and retires? Okay, well,
great.
Then they have a lot of things that they might need to figure out. If Breeze comes back, well, you know, they'll probably be okay. Now, for the top five, the Dolphins have the most space. Colts are next with $86 million. Then the Bills have $80 million. Then the Bucks have $80 million. And the Cowboys have $77.2 million. So you just look at the Bills. I mean, they already made the playoffs. The Bucks were shockingly not too bad. They were right on the heels of the Cowboys, and their coach hates their quarterback. So who knows what could happen there? And then the Colts looked okay for stretches last year. And then you have the Cowboys at fifth. All right. So that's the number you have to work with. $77.23 million. The great thing for the Cowboys, too, they only have $2 million in dead money. So if you thought like,
wow, that's great.
They don't operate the way that they used to anymore in terms of the dead cap and all of that. So who would you like them to spend their money on now that you know kind of what you're looking at?
All right, so you got $77 million to work with.
Correct.
You've got to re-sign a bunch of backup linebackers and defensive players. Hopefully you could add something in the draft, but we've seen that can you rely on a Tristan Hill to be a starter?
Nope.
But he is on your team, okay? So you got to take him into consideration of where your money is. So your options are how much, and Dak's going to be $33 million if you franchise tag him.
So if you go in that direction, now you're down to 44.
All right. Amari is 19.
Okay. I can live with that.
Okay.
All right. So you need that. So now you're down to 25.
And then Byron is going to be 12. 15.
Oh, you wish.
16.
Yeah. I think it'll be 15 or 16. I think Quinn could maybe be 11 or 12.
How much is Vic Beasley going to cost somebody?
You know, that's really interesting because that news came out right at the end. I don't know because, like, I wouldn't guess a lot. By the way, did you see the Falcons interchange on Twitter about that? So right before our show went off the air,
yeah,
they tweeted out that Vic Beasley was not coming back. Somebody actually responded, "Who's your source on this?" And they said, "Us." The source is literally us. We're telling you he's not going to be back
on the team.
The
Blue Jays did that once.
Yeah, and so I
nobody cared because they're the Blue Jays.
I mean, you better start caring because that team is ready to take off.
Yeah, but teams' social media accounts get mad when people at them about things. So you like either do personnel moves on the Twitter account or don't.
Right.
You know, because people will be like, "Hey, trade for this guy." And some social media accounts will be like, "Hey, I'm just a dude wearing glasses in this cubicle tweeting funny stuff. Like, I don't trade anybody."
Why does he have to wear glasses, Shippy?
I don't know.
You know why.
Really bad shot at somebody, man.
So, okay.
All my kids have glasses.
I like glasses. I just don't need them.
Okay. This is a weird turn that just took. So, Vic Beasley he already peaked. So, that's the problem that you're going to run into with him. So, before the season starts, he'll be 28. So, that's enticing. He was a top 10 pick. Here's the other side of it, though. In 2016, that season was insane. He had 15 and a half sacks and 7 forced turnovers.
Yeah.
In the 3 years since then, he has 18 total sacks and 4 forced turnovers. So, like, his production in the last 3 years combined is fairly equivalent to just that one season. So you have to wonder, I mean, there's a reason that people move on from their top 10 picks. So I don't think he would be ultra expensive. But let me ask you this. Would you rather make a run at him or keep Quinn? Although I do kind of think Beasley might be cheaper.
Any option, Kevin. All right. That's what I'm trying to get people to do and expand. And I think you're doing the same thing. You said earlier this morning in our crosstalk with Sean and RJ, the Cowboys should not be focused on, "Hey, let's just drag things out and see how they go." They should be trying to put everything on the whiteboard that they possibly can to say, "How do we make all of this work?" My thing is, you should be thinking about this middle of the season every year. You should already start having plans of what you're going to go try and pursue, what you need in the draft and all that. But the Cowboys' schedule takes a little bit longer. We'll get to that a little more. But I think that I would rather have, If Quinn's going to cost that much, I'd probably rather have a Vic Beasley guy.
And somebody asked Vic Beasley over Sean Lee.
Can I get both?
You could. I need more insight into the mindset of Vic Beasley right now. Because is he going to... So this is what I'm concerned, how he's going to swing it, right? Is, okay, over the last 4 years, I've had 33 and a half sacks. And over the last 4 years, I have forced 11 turnovers. So if that's the model you're going with, you're like, you're probably not for us. You know, whether on the flip side, if he's like, "Look, last year I played better than I had the previous 2 years. I just need one more year. I can get back to what I was and I'll sign, you know, 1 for 8 or whatever, like Sue was doing for so many years." If that's the case, and I told you, you could, What if I told you you could bring Lee and Beasley here for 13 total?
I'm good with that.
Okay. And then that drops.
And that makes me feel like I'm better having Byron.
Okay. Well, then.
And now I can get a safety in the draft.
You could. And what I would tell you for that is, theoretically, in this scenario, you keep Dak, you keep Amari, you keep Sean Lee, you pick up Vic Beasley, and you still have about $12 million. Now, you mentioned all like the backup and role players and even people like Heath that we need to talk about. I can flip a couple of switches and free up the room for all of that without it being too problematic. So then at $12 million, you can try to keep Quinn, you can make your run at Byron, or you can go in a totally different direction. So theoretically, you could keep the players you have and add Vic Beasley, but that's the only guy that you're really adding outside of the draft.
All right, so I have to knock it out of the park with my draft.
You
then.
Do.
Cowboys have some work to do.
Or you can just move on from Dak.
Or Amari.
Then I have all the money.
That's why the franchise tag is so important,
ah,
Kevin.
Ah, coming up next, Corey tells us the franchise tag is the only way to go, and it's going to take a really long time. Are you prepared for that? Autoflex Leasing Fan Text 877-881-1053. We'll do it next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.